The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
The Vatican has announced that Pope Francis will consecrate Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary on March 25th. The date of the consecration carries deep significance. On the same day in 1984, Pope John Paul II consecrated Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary in St. Peter's Square. In Pope Francis's last Angelus, pilgrims touted a banner urging the Pope to consecrate Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It seems he was paying attention, and now will make yet another powerful gesture to try to bring the war to a peaceful conclusion.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Big news, and I am delighted to be able to announce it and share it with you. As I was getting ready to do my broadcast today, I was contacted by the World Apostle of Fatima, and they put on my radar the fact that Pope Francis will consecrate Russia and Ukraine. Now, this is significant. There's been a lot of controversy that has swirled over marrying consecration, and I want to break it all down for you now in the next hour. Why is consecration so powerful? Why did Our Lady ask for it? I thought Russia was consecrated, right? And if it was, why are we seeing Russia rear its ugly head? Why is it, you know, really annihilating nations? So much of what has been revealed in that secret that was given to the children of Fatima. Sister Lucia, after the visions, she had frequent correspondence with her superiors throughout the 30s, and she talked about the need for the Pope to consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart. Otherwise, it would spread its error. So in 1936, she wrote about her conversation with the Lord in a prayer. And in one instance, the Lord said this to her. He said, like the King of France, they will repent and do it, but it will be too late. Russia will have already spread her errors throughout the world, provoking wars and the persecution of the church. The Holy Father will have much to suffer. On another occasion, our Lord said to her, the Holy Father, pray very much for the Holy Father. He will do it, but it will be too late. Nevertheless, my Immaculate Heart will save Russia. It has been entrusted to her. So it raises a lot of questions for me. Around the same time, in December 36, St. Faustina, just as a side note here, she wrote in her diary, I've offered this day for Russia. If you go to her diary entry, it's December 16th, 1936. She says, I've offered this day for Russia. I've offered all my sufferings, all my prayers for that poor country. After Holy Communion, Jesus said to me, I cannot suffer that country any longer. Can you imagine that? Just on that note, I don't want to get too off tangent here, too off course, but St. Faustina, the first saint of the new millennium, having visions of Jesus Christ, the Lord said to her, I cannot suffer that country anymore. He says, do not tie my hands, my daughter. I understand that if it had not been for the prayers of the souls that are pleasing to God, that nation would have already been reduced to nothingness. Oh, how I suffer that nation, which has banished God from its borders. That's diary entry 818 from the St. Faustina's diary, if you want to read it. I was struck by that when I was thinking about this conversation today on consecration. Now, let me just fast forward. I'm trying to paint the picture. David Carolla will be joining me from the World Apostle of Fatima to fill us in on all the details. Let's fast forward, March 25th, 1984, right? John Paul II, he gathered a majority of bishops around the world, including five patriarchs of the Orthodox Church, to make the consecration. When it was over, you had a lot of people questioned whether or not it had been done. It had been done properly. Sister Lucia said it wasn't done perfect, but it had been accepted by heaven. John Paul II, as you know, today is a great saint in the church. People wondered because Russia had spread her errors around the world, as Jesus foretold. The Soviet Union, the Eastern Bloc countries were still in an ironclad grip of communism. They needed to be unchanged in order to begin a process of conversion. But what did we see? I always look at what happened with the fall of the Iron Curtain. You know, Vladimir Putin today says the collapse of the Soviet Union was the greatest geopolitical event. Tragedy is the word he used, of the 20th century. I think the consecration worked. Our Lady said it was accepted. Sister Lucia, the recipient, said it was accepted. So why is Pope Francis reconsecrating Russia and Ukraine? It's a great question. I've invited David Carollo to join me today. He's a longtime friend of this program. He, of course, is the executive director of the World Apostle of Fatima. This is the organization, if you're not familiar with them, that has been trying to spread devotion to the rosary, to First Saturdays, trying to fulfill Our Lady's request. And John Paul wasn't the first pope who tried consecration. Other popes have done that in the past. Dave is here to bring us up to speed on what can be a historic and momentous event, not just for Russia, not just for the Ukraine, but for the world. Dave, good to have you with me again. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Drew, great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
I was stunned when I heard the news, and to be honest with you, very excited about it. I actually came here, I was kind of jubilant when I started the show because, you know, I got to be honest, there's some apprehension when you see, I don't think Vladimir Putin was going to stop even after he turned Ukraine to rubble. If he did, you know, maybe in months or maybe a year or so, we'd see, you know, some of the neighboring former satellite countries come under his thumb as well if we didn't push back, or this event could get out of control. We could see even nuclear exchange. We don't know. So for Pope Francis to come out and say he's going to consecrate Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart, you got to fill us in. What does that mean? How do you interpret all this? We can talk about consecration. Why wasn't John Paul's enough? Let me throw it to you. Let me just throw you that softball. You can take it in any direction you want.
Yeah, well, Drew, you know, this has been the question. Can you imagine how many emails and telephone calls I've gotten in the last 2 weeks about this? And because people, Russia was not consecrated. Well, it was consecrated, but here's a reality. I mean, it was 55 years after the request. 55 years, you know, and the damage was done. I mean, Russia had spread her errors. What happened in the Eastern Bloc right after that, it's not deniable. I mean, you saw what happened. The Soviet Union fell. Okay, but that didn't mean all evil was going to be gone. And for things to continue, what is a consecration? A consecration is setting something apart, dedicating it, say, to a sacred purpose. So you do it individually, you do it to an item, you consecrate a building, say a church, and you consecrate a nation. Okay, now, you know, this is a very beautiful thing that the Holy Father is doing, because yes, it's in the light of Fatima, and so now people are saying, wow, this is the consecration. Well, that is something to be said. The consecration that was done in 1984 was accepted, according to Sister Lucia. I accept that. But the point is, what wasn't said there is that as soon as the country's consecrated, or the world is consecrated in this case, that all evil would cease. We have to stop the evil. And a lot of what's going on today there, I believe, is a result of the sinfulness of the rest of the world, very much in our own country. You know, I mean, we've turned away from God. So the errors of Russia that were spoken about in Fatima had taken root well before 1984. You know, and so here we are today dealing with a world that really has turned away from God. So this is really no more than, I mean, all you know, war is a punishment for sin, Our Lady said at Fatima. Yeah, yeah. Well, all this misfortune and you know, issues do stem from sin in one way or another. So what you see today, you know, it doesn't have to do with the consecration, no, but this is a beautiful thing, because to consecrate something specially and to reconsecrate is very important. That's why our apostolate worldwide now is calling on the 25th, and we actually put this out before this announcement, calling for people to reconsecrate themselves and their lives in union with the anniversary of Pope John Paul II's consecration.
I'm going to do that. It's 10 days away. So, you know, I like to do the 30-day consecration. But you know what, Dave? I'm glad you put that on my radar. I am going to do that. I'm going to start 9 days out and do a 9-day Marian consecration. What a beautiful thing to do. If you want to join us, my guest today, David Carolla, I only have him maybe 10, 15 minutes. I know a lot of people are going to want to join us. We're talking about consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart and the Ukraine. And we are raising, we're exploring really the fact that consecrations have been attempted in the past. Some weren't done as Our Lady requested. The 84 one on March 25th. And by the way, Pope Francis is going to be consecrating this on March 25th, the Solemnity of the Annunciation. I think graces are going to flow. I think we're going to see a radical change. I think the war as we see it over there is going to come to an end, and I'm really praying for the conversion of Vladimir Putin and for the world. Let's do this. We'll take a few calls for you. 888-914-9149. If you get in, I'll do my best to get you on the air. Charlie has been waiting in New Jersey to talk with you. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I was just curious as to, with this consecration, are all the bishops of the world going to be involved? Because from what I understand, that was the specific instructions of our Blessed Virgin for all the bishops to be involved.
Yeah, as far as I know, that has not been a request that's been made. So again, this is very new, just a few hours old.
Yes.
But I will say this, that we've put out the words as many bishops that we know to please participate in this. And I think that, and you're right, the consecration, as Our Lady asked for, Pope John Paul II pulled in 1984, was in union with many bishops. Now, did everyone join in? I would have to believe probably not, but it's in union with the bishops of the world. Now, the more that participate, the more grace that's going to flow from something like this. Just the fact that the Holy Father is doing it is tremendous in itself.
Yeah.
And what else? What other bishops, individuals, us, we need to join in this prayer at the same time. As I said, what our apostolate is calling for on that day, we're calling for a reconsecration of ourselves on that anniversary date. So,
David, are you going to be in Fatima for that consecration? What are you doing?
I will not. No, I'll be here in New Jersey, but that's right. The prayers are heard from here as well as from Fatima.
And Pope Francis is going to be in Rome to do it, right? That's where he's going to consecrate the world? Okay,
yes, but there will also be done at the shrine in Fatima at the same time. So it'll be,
and of course you
Cardinal Krajewski,
and the Blue Army has a shrine in New Jersey too. So I'm sure you'll be doing it there as well. So
we will be, because they'll be at 5 p.m. On the 25th, which with the daylight savings time change, that's noon, which coincides with our daily mass here. And yes, we've already in our meeting today, we're set this up now to join in with this at the same time at our mass, because very important. It's very important. Certainly as a Fatima shrine, it's very important. But beyond that, you know, just to be part of this effort for world peace.
If you want more information, BlueArmy.com or .org?
BlueArmy.com.
BlueArmy.com.
Yes.
Check it out. My guest today is the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, Dave Carolla. And if you're just joining us, we are sharing big, big news. Pope Francis, who has shown how Marian a Pope he is. I know a lot of people sometimes have problems with certain things the Pope does. The one thing you can argue is his Marian devotion and his love for Our Lady. And he is going to do something that I think is going to open the floodgates of God's grace. There are going to be torrents of it. And I think the world's going to be a better place as a result of this. We've got 10 days, March 25th. The Holy Father will be making this consecration. Why not join with your rosary every evening? Father Rocky will pray that at 7 p.m. You can join him for that prayer. You can make a personal consecration. You can join the Blue Army in their effort, BlueArmy.com. Dave, we got a number of calls that we're going to get to on the phone here in just a quick second. But before I do, let me just follow up on a little history, because I think it's important to put everything into context. The vision was given in 1917. The two other seers died as a result of that plague that took place. And the consecration was not done until 84, yet there were many other popes in between there. And I know other popes have tried. What popes tried to consecrate, and why wasn't that good enough?
Well, in 1942, Pope Pius XII attempted a consecration. Did not do it in union with the bishops of the world. Communications in 1942, in the middle of World War II, you can imagine what it was like. There was not you didn't have the internet. You didn't have telephones or cell phone. I can pick up my cell phone now and call anybody in the world, where in 1942 it was a lot different. So I think in countries, you know, fighting a war, we're not in the communications there were even worse. So I don't believe that there was anything but a pure intention to do it the right way. But it was not what Our Lady had asked for. But Sister Lucia did say something about this. She said that it shortened World War II. There was grace that came from that consecration, and that's what shortened World War II. So it tells you right there, every consecration, even imperfect, has a benefit. And that's what we have to look at here. For those who, you know, I mean, I do firmly believe that the consecration was done in 84. Okay, for those who don't believe it, I don't argue it. I mean, that's personal belief. Some say because he didn't mention Russia by name. Others say that he actually silently mentioned Russia during the consecration, or at least quietly. So the point is, it does have an effect. And the 1942 consecration by Pope Pius XII did have a positive effect. So that these are things, and Pope John Paul II attempted his original one in 1982, but then in 1984 is when he brought the bishops together. I think every consecration, every prayer has benefit. And I think that's what we as individuals have to look at, because we have to look at the Fatima message, which gives us instruction, and that is for us to live our lives in a certain manner, proper, within our Catholic faith, to be devoted to the rosary and pray for peace, pray for the conversion of sinners. Well, you know, we have to do that. You know, Our Lady didn't say that the Pope must do this and that's all that matters. No, no, no. She said we have to do certain things. If we fail to do it, well, then, you know, you can't necessarily blame one man, even if he is the Holy Father, for possibly not doing things in the manner that was prescribed.
No, I agree. You have to look at history, too. I'm in the camp that the 84 consecration was done. I'm delighted that Pope Francis is going to reconsecrate the Russia to the Immaculate Heart. The Soviet Union broke apart. Russia turned away, in some respects, from communism. They acted new laws. They allowed religious freedom, right? They allowed the worship of God. And we know that that conversion, it's like a cruise ship. It takes a long time to turn around, right? It doesn't happen instantly. Right. It's not a 180, and it's a gradual process. And I think you've seen in Russia since then, and you've seen in the Christian church, just like after the resurrection of Christ, look how long it took for Christianity to spread and to take its root. I think the consecration, those seeds have been planted. I think we trust the promises of our Lord and our Lady regarding Fatima, that Russia's going to come around. I just think, you know, we're throwing some fuel in the fire right now on March the 25th with Pope Francis consecrating both Ukraine and Russia. It's 10 days a long time as Vladimir Putin continues to level that country. Right. But God's outside of time, so I think we should all pray especially the rosary that Our Lady asks us to pray the chaplet, and spend our time in prayer asking God for peace. Maggie, who's up next? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Jim is listening in Madison, Wisconsin. Jim, good afternoon.
Hello, Jim.
Hello. Question for your guest. I'm wondering if you think consecration would be taking place with the Orthodox bishops and patriarchs. I'm thinking that through the Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople, that coordination and communications might be possible.
Well, I would agree with you, and I think that would be great. You've seen some of the comments that have come out from Moscow by Patriarch there, and it's very disconcerting especially for the Orthodox in Ukraine, because they're very much in union. I would hope that there would be that attempt and bring particularly the Eastern Rite, but the Orthodox in particular, Orthodox bishops, to participate in something. Peace is in everybody's best interest. And I would think that's the position you want to see all of your religious leaders take. Doesn't mean you don't support your country and that, okay, these are national loyalties and all, but still, this is very big. And I believe that whether or not the official request has been made, I can't tell you. This is all fresh news, even to us. I mean, earlier today, we're sorting. My people are going nuts right now, going through everything, trying to figure it out. But to be honest with you, it is a proper thing. Because it's in union with the bishops, who also not only will help bring the grace, but they also have influence on their own people. I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, so much to talk about, too, because, you know, with Vladimir Putin, some say he's not well, some say he wants to act like a madman, some people say he is. There's been the threat of nuclear weaponry, went on high alert. I mean, could all be the bluster of saying to NATO, back down, right? But then again, you could see the annihilation of nations. You don't know how this thing could escalate. Our sister Lucia said that, and please, you can articulate this better than me, Dave. John Paul did the other consecration, March 25th, 1984, the one that was accepted by heaven. Sister Lucia, I believe in an 85 interview, said that a nuclear war was averted. Am I correct in my understanding of that?
She did say that. She said a nuclear war that would have happened in 1985 was averted by that action in 1984. Those are her words. So, yeah. I mean, that comes right from it. Unfortunately, she's not alive anymore to ask.
No. Right. No, I wish she was.
She passed away in 2005. Yeah, right. I wonder what she would be saying today. I think my feeling is, Drew, today she would say, people, adhere to the Fatima message. Get on your knees and pray. Yes. This is what Our Lady wants, you know, and what God wants through Our Lady, obviously. And I believe that's the thing that she would be saying today. Well, you know, it could have happened here. You know, and she wouldn't be talking politically. She's talking about what's in the hearts of people and what God wants from us.
I love that. You know, the other thing, just to put some perspective on this, and then we'll go back to the phones. Sister Lucia also said, I think it was in October of 93, she was doing, an interview with Cardinal Vidal. She said, Fatima's just begun. Fatima's still in its third day, you know, so, which is fascinating. The third day of what, the week? I mean, so we are just really not even quite in the middle of this period, this time of Fatima that Our Lady came and presented. Yes. Give me some context on that, or give us some perspective on what she meant by being in the third day.
Well, just think about it, Drew. Okay, we are going through maybe this week, if you want to call it, of Fatima. How long was creation? 7 days? Was it 7 24-hour periods? I don't know. What does the church say on that? You know, I mean, what is a day in Fatima? What we're doing is moving towards, I firmly believe, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And the biggest thing that we need to get there to keep fulfilling is what we have not done yet, and that is the first Saturday's devotion. That's primary. That is something that she asked for also in 1929. When she asked for the consecration of Russia. So, you know, where are we with that? How many people have done it? I firmly believe when enough people have adhered to the devotion of the five first Saturdays, and don't stop at five, you keep going, but the first Saturday's devotion, you will see that promise. You will see that triumph of the Immaculate Heart that we have been promised, and that era of peace will be conceded to mankind, she said. Right there. That was a given.
I think it's so important. Let's go to the phones. Susan's got a question about First Saturdays, too. And there might be people listening, Dave. I mean, I know you know this intimately. You might have to explain what Our Lady requested of the faithful for First Saturday. But first, we'll go to Colorado. Susan, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew.
Hi.
How are you, Ann, Mr. Carollo? This is so providential that this came out today. And I'm taking notes as the show goes on. Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can, Susan.
Yes.
Go right ahead. We only have a couple minutes.
Okay. And so tonight I'm going to attend the synod at my church, and I feel I'm called to have our diocese to recommend to my to our bishop to call upon our diocese to do the five first Saturdays, to keep on praying the rosaries and do penance. And so my question is, how do I word this? How do I recommend to my parish to bring to the archbishop to get the whole archdiocese to do the five first Saturdays, and that this is really needed right now?
Thank you. Let me put you on hold just for a second. David, I'll let you respond. We only got a couple of minutes. Maybe you can explain first Saturdays and offer some advice.
Sure. Yeah. Hello. Yes.
You're there, Dave. Go right ahead.
I'm here. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, the five first Saturdays. What reason? Why do you make reparation on five first Saturdays? Because these are in reparation for the blasphemies, the five blasphemies against Our Lady, against her Immaculate Conception, against her perpetual virginity, against her divine maternity, and against those who, you know, the crime truly of those who seek publicly to implant in the hearts of children indifference, disrespect, and even hatred for Mary. And those who revile her directly in her sacred images. So you're making reparation to many things that truly offend God. And this is, we have many resources on BlueArmy.com, and we'd be more than happy to help you. You'd appeal directly to me if you wanted an email. I'd be more than happy to get you to the right people to help you get something to present to your bishop, because believe me, this is, it's like any initiative in a diocese or in a parish, as long as the people are willing to carry the water, as they say, they're going to support it, you know, and I really believe that. And truly, this is the key, as I see it, going forward to bringing us to that period of time. You know, it is a dark period right now. There's so much evil out there. This war is another example of that. But the reality is, I think, because we're getting closer and closer and closer to success and to victory. And it's always darkest right before the dawn, they say. And I think we are, and anything, please make a direct appeal here. I'd be more than happy to give you anything you need as a package to present.
Well, Dave, thank you for all you do at World Apostle of Fatima, thebluearmy.com, if anyone wants more information. We'll continue to follow the story. We've got 10 days to ramp up a lot of prayer, and it's going to be a historic day. I cannot wait to participate. I will be in deep prayer when that takes place. And hopefully we can talk soon, okay? We'll talk in the next couple days.
Great, great. Thank you, Drew. Always great to be with you.
Likewise. It's David Carollo. He is the Executive Director of the World Apostle of Fatima in U.S. We'll continue the conversation when I return. We'll be joined by a noted Mariologist. We're taking a look at the significance of Marian consecration. You might be saying, what's the big deal about consecration? What's the big deal about this prayer? Why are you so pumped? Why do you think it's going to bring about such a change? We'll take a look at the spiritual dynamic behind consecration, why so many saints embraced it. That and more straight ahead.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The leader of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church said on Friday that many people have told him that they have seen luminous angels over the land of Ukraine. We perceive today that the Archangel Michael, together with the whole heavenly host, is fighting for Ukraine. So many people from throughout Ukraine are turning to me, saying that they saw luminous angels over the land of Ukraine. He added, "Today we pray, O Archangel Michael and all the powers of heaven, fight for Ukraine. Cast down that devil who was attacking us and killing us, bringing devastation and death."
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, there's something going on spiritually in the world today. You know, as evil rises, grace abounds all the more. I am so confident good will triumph. God always brings good out of even the darkest situations. And it's a dark place today in the world. I mean, you take a look at it societally. You can take a look at it geopolitically. You can take a look at it economically. It's easy to get overwhelmed by those things. But I've got great hope. If you're just joining me, let me tell you what I heard just before the program. News is still coming in. It's a relatively new, it's a breaking story when it comes to the church. I think it's going to have a greater impact than any diplomat, anything that Antony Blinken can do or Kamala Harris or Joe Biden or any summit will have. We're dealing with the Pope, the Vicar of Christ on earth, consecrating Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Big news today. Pope Francis will do this. He's going to do it on March 25th, the Solemnity of the Annunciation. If you know your history, it's actually going to be the 38th anniversary of when Pope John Paul the Great had the bishops of the world join him in consecrating the world, including Russia, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I invite you to not only join me in prayer every day during the chapel, but to join Father Rocky for the Rosary Across America every evening, okay? We have 9-10 days leading up to this consecration, and do a personal consecration. Work on that. Let's make March 25th a significant and a holy, holy day. The Pope will be doing the consecration from Rome. And, of course, the papal almoner will be, I think, in Fatima doing it at the same time. And I know it's the desire to have bishops all over the world join in spiritually for this event. And here's the thing. If this does take place, what will we see? I'm sitting from a very trustful, faithful position. I tend to think, just as John Paul's consecration in 84, which was accepted by heaven, brought about the fall of the Iron Curtain and the collapse of the USSR, I believe we're going to see radical changes when this Pope, his successor, really, does the same thing. What's going to happen? Graces are going to flow. Graces are going to flow. I'm joined today by a man who understands the power of consecration. His name is Dr. Mark Miravalli. He's been a noted Mariologist. He holds the St. John Paul II Chair in Mariology at Franciscan University of Steubenville and a longtime contributor on this radio program devoted to Our Blessed Mother. You can learn more about him at motherofallpeoples.com, and I'm sure they'll be writing on this as well. Doctor, it's good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I think you well outline the potential historic significance of what's been announced just a few hours ago with this consecration, and I'm glad we're able to talk about it right now.
And I want to do a couple things, because there's probably people saying, I don't get it. What's so special about a consecration? What's so special about this prayer? We know very holy people gain their holiness. People like St. Louis de Montfort or Mother Teresa of Calcutta or John Paul II or Colby, they all did these Marian consecrations. They devoted themselves to the Mother of God. Consecrating a nation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Let's talk about that. Break that down, if you could. Why is that so spiritually significant? I know Our Lady asked for it in 1917. Various popes have tried. John Paul fulfilled the request. And now you have Pope Francis going to re-echo that, if you will. And you and I had a conversation last week about the lack of response to the grace that Russia has received, although we did see the Iron Curtain collapse and USSR dissolve. But your thoughts on it. Maybe lay it out for me as you see it and the significance of it, and maybe give us an understanding of the power, the spiritual dynamic of a consecration.
Well, Drew, as is typical, based on your cyber doctorate in Mariology, you've given me six or seven questions that would take us about 3 days to go through properly, but I will try to synthesize you, because you're bang on with all of it. It's all so critically important. So let's start with consecration. So the Greek word for consecration is anathemenoi. It literally means set aside for a sacred use. That's why the church uses the word consecration a lot. The consecration of the Eucharist, right? Consecration at baptism. Those are all things set aside for sacred use. And so a Marian consecration, as you well outlined historically, those great authors with St. Louis Marie and St. Maximilian and Mother Teresa, and of course, St. John Paul II had it as his motto, his papal, his bishop, episcopal, and papal motto. These are people that lived consecration. Several of them wrote their own consecration method so that we could do just that, so that we could spiritually prepare to be set apart for a sacred use. And the sacred use is the total fulfillment of our baptism promises to Jesus through our Mother's intercession. So Marian consecration means we give ourselves directly to Our Lady. She's the mediatrix of all graces. She has the spiritual capacity to receive us as children. And thereupon, once she gets our yes through our freedom, our fiat, then she can fully exercise her maternal role as mediatrix of all graces and sanctify us, lead us to serve the church in ways we simply can't do on our own, and unite us to Jesus in ways we can't do our own. So really, Marian consecration becomes a very simple formula. If you want to live your baptismal promises to Jesus, you got two options. One is to try to do it on your own. That's great. The second option is to do it with the full-blown power of the mediatrix of all graces. So why, if you're really concerned about baptismal promises, why would you not consecrate yourself to Our Lady? So, and to the last point, when you're talking about consecrating nations, consecration is based on what we call spiritual jurisdiction or authority, and that means you have to have a certain relationship with the person you're consecrating, that you have a certain authority, right? So parents consecrate their kids, right? A parish priest consecrates his parish. The vicar of Christ can consecrate anything he wants on earth because he's the vicar of Christ on earth. So the Pope alone has the full spiritual jurisdiction to be able to consecrate nations of the world, because he is the representative of Christ on earth. And that's why a papal consecration is so powerful. And just as a postscript to that, this does not imply, as you well outlined with the history of consecration, this does not imply that John Paul II didn't do it. Any more than when you and I consecrate ourselves again and again, Drew, we typically do annually, and some of us do it daily, it doesn't mean the last one didn't count. It means we want more grace from the Mother, who wants to unite us in total sanctity. She wants us all to be saints. So we're saying, Mother, I want more. And so when Pope Francis is doing this to Russia and Ukraine, he's saying, Mother, more grace for Russia and Ukraine, more grace for the world through these two countries, in the sense that what they're doing is obviously having international effect right now. There's no question about that. The world's talking about Russia and Ukraine.
You know it.
What about grace through that mode? And that's why what the Pope is doing is so historically and supernaturally significant.
And again, I go back to what I've said earlier. I mean, you and I talked about consecration. I think it took root. David Carolla, who's executive director of the World Apostle to Fatima, was with me just prior to you coming on. And we talked about how in 1985, this was just months after the consecration, that Sister Lucia had a conversation and said a nuclear war had been averted thanks to that consecration. And that's how close that's we right. were to nuclear war. And that's a real threat. Then what did we see? We saw the Iron Curtain collapse. We saw the fruit of the consecration. But like us, we can reject God's grace. We can grow cold and callous to it. And we see Russia rearing its ugly head again, rolling into Ukraine and saber rattling and threatening, you know, mm-hmm. to consequences never seen before in a country's history if they intervene. I mean, we don't know what that means. Could it be nuclear? So the fact that we're going to consecrate Russia again, this might be, as I said, gas on the fire. It might be the step that is really needed to bring about a radical conversion in Russia. They're going through economic hardships. Sanctions are going to bring them to their knees. Maybe this is a turning point. Maybe we're witnessing a tremendous turning point in the future of Russia. And Our Lady said, in the end, her Immaculate Heart will triumph. And I think Russia plays a special role in the future, doesn't it? Our Lady has a special affinity, it seems, for this country.
Yeah, and with good reason. I mean, before the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917, you know, the nickname of Russia was the House of Mary. Drew,
wow.
The House of Mary.
Wow.
Yes, because there were so many shrines and churches dedicated to Our Lady in Russia. And so it has an extraordinary Marian and Christian tradition. And then, of course, that's what communism does. That's what atheism does. It destroys the good. And, of course, you know, since Our Lady is the weapon against the adversary, in this great Genesis 3:15, Revelations 12 standoff between God's greatest creature and God's most heinous creature, of course he's going to attack the Marian country. Isn't it interesting that the Mariupol, the city of Mary in Ukraine,
Mariupol,
was the first most devastated? Mm. So that shouldn't be surprising to us. But it also means, Drew, as you said, that countries and leadership can accept grace for a period, and then they can reject it, that just like we can, right? And so, I would say in full bore confirmation, but also a historical caution: don't judge the consecration of Pope Francis on March 26th.
Right.
Don't expect massive evidence of radical change the next day, because we see historically, John Paul II does the consecration in 84. But communism doesn't fall till 91.
That's right.
The Berlin Wall doesn't fall till 89. Why? Mm-hmm. Because it takes time. Why does it take time? Because it's happening in us,
yep.
Drew. It's
That's
happening
right.
in human beings. So the power of this, I think, is extraordinary. Give it time to have grace acting on nature with free will to see the full fruits of it. Because otherwise, It could denigrate the real historic supernatural effect of what I think will happen on March 25th.
My guest today is Mariologist Dr. Mark Miravalli. I need to take a short pause, but I'm going to be back for the final maybe 10 minutes of our time together today. If you have a question or a comment you want to get in, I'll go to the phones when I return. Best time to get in is now, and the number for you, 888-914-9149, talking about a historic moment in the church and the world. Pope Francis is going to consecrate Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Wow. Can't wait to see what unfolds. Our conversation continues. Stay with me.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Oh, baby, have a little
help
for my pain. All I need is my
body. Have a little help
for my pain. I say I'm gonna get high.
Have a little help for my
pain. Oh, yeah.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected. Relevant Radio.
I need a little help, right? Some help. We all need some help, right? And we're going to get it from Pope Francis when he consecrates Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Graces are going to flow. As my guest today, Dr. Mark Miravalli, points out, don't look for some radical change the next day. Oh, but who knows, right? Sometimes it takes time for the seed that's planted to be watered with our prayers and our sacrifice and ultimately, you know, bear an abundant harvest. But if you're just joining me, Pope Francis announced that he is going to consecrate Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart on March the 25th. He'll do it from Rome. His papal envoy will be doing it at the same time in Fatima. And we're here taking a look at the impact and what this means for the church, for the world, and for you. Dr. Miravalli, let's go right to the phones. We'll grab a couple quick calls. If you want to get in, we only have about 10 minutes left. We'll take your calls. Stan in Nevada. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I want to congratulate you. You've been You and your staff have been painting an excellent picture of the spiritual warfare that's going on now. My question about the consecration is that I've been disturbed over years. I served 30 years in the military. I watched this go from strength through peace, peace through strength, to a force that now has basically objectified their soldiers, started making them cannon fodder for the military-industrial complex, which I think is, I'm wondering, have we gone away from God in the United States? Are we serving several gods? And should our country be reconsecrated to the Heart of Mary? Should we be praying for that?
I love that. That's such a great, great question. Yeah. Mark, you want to take Dr. Miravalli, you want to take that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think you're nailing something critical there, Stan. And we are in grave need of spiritual renewal. And wouldn't it be wonderful, you know, if our bishops could ask the Holy Father for something similar,
I'd love
of a consecration of the United States, the Immaculate Heart. And in a certain sense, you know, if it's done in the right spirit, it's not like, well, they got one, therefore we should get one. It's rather, praise God, they got a consecration. We too are in need of conversion. You know, it should be humbly from our knees asking for that. So I think consecrations are no lose situation, so I see only good that could come from that. And you know, I want to say too, as we were talking, you know, before the break, as well, Drew. Yeah, I mean, do not expect an era of peace to happen on March 26th. Surely, heaven can do whatever it wants, but typically there's process, and also it doesn't mean it's time to rest on our laurels. You know, what did Our Lady say at Fatima when she talked about the consecration of Russia? In the very same line, Drew, no comma, no semicolon. I asked for the consecration of Russia and the first Saturdays of Reparation. That's all part of one line. The popes have been asking for a new Pentecost, you know, praying for a new descent of the Holy Spirit. So this is not intended as a solve-all. It's a historic grace. But we still have to look at other parts of the world, like the situation in China, like the situation in Iran, and make sure we keep up our Marian battle in prayers for ultimately the full new Pentecost, which is necessary for an era of peace to take forward. But yeah, I think it's a great, great recommendation by Stan.
Yeah, and well, gosh, we should talk about Our Lady of America and some of these other apparitions that have taken place in our country and the role that America's to play to lead the world spiritually at some point in a future conversation, Doctor. But let's go to Sacramento next, California. Marie is listening to us there. Hi, Marie.
Yes, hi, and God bless everybody's heart.
Thanks.
I think that this would be the perfect time for a novena beginning tomorrow, and then it would culminate on March 25th.
I love that, too. No, I could not agree with you more. I thought the same thing. You know, I thought about doing a Marian consecration. I personally consecrate myself every day, Dr. Miravalli, as I'm sure you do, to Our Lady. Offer, you know, all my days, my sufferings, etc. But you know, to take 9 days to dedicate it to prayer and to make that day a special day, and as Russia and Ukraine are being consecrated, to reconsecrate your own life, I think heaven's going to have the torrents, the floodgates of grace open on that day, and I think it's a great idea. And to that point, you know, Our Lady at Fatima, she gave us spiritual weapons to use. I mean, the angel talked about penance, something we don't think about, but she reiterated over and over again the power of the prayer of the rosary. And she says all the wars, she said this to Sister Lucia before, she said all the wars that have occurred, they could have been avoided through prayer and sacrifice, you know? And that's why Our Lady asks us to do these reparations, you know, on First Saturdays and do consecration, which I'm going to be doing again on the 25th. And but she says the rosary is one of the most important spiritual weapons we have in these times when the devil is active. So pray it, right? So I think it's a great idea. Let's talk about the weapons that she has given us. What can we do personally to prepare not only for the 25th, but to really make that change? The rosary, consecration, penance. I love your wisdom on all that.
Yeah, Drew. I mean, again, what Fatima does, I mean, take a quick look. And again, this is over a longer session of discussion because what you're saying has such fruit. But look at what the Five First Saturdays devotion gets us to. Does it say, you know, I want you to hop on every first Saturday and rub your head and your stomach at the same time? Is it some type of little magic? No, it's all back to the heart of the prayer and sacramental life of the church. Eucharist, confession, rosary, meditation. So the whole purpose of the Five First Saturdays has us get back to those things. But I tell you, honestly, what I'm going to do too, Drew, for starting tomorrow, I'm going to pray the prayer of the Lady of All Nations for 9 days in a row in preparation for this event. And the reason I'm going to pray that prayer is because it's a prayer that I think is truly inspired by our Lord, that asks Jesus to send the Holy Spirit into the hearts of all nations for what? To prevent degeneration, disaster, and war. What would be more appropriate in terms of a quick little novena prayer than that prayer, which takes about 30 seconds to pray? So if people say, "Why not? I'm in the middle of a consecration, I'm in the middle of St. Joseph's novena," I would suggest just pray that prayer of the Lady of All Nations, and we'll send it out free to anybody who wants it, English and Spanish, as many as they want.
Can we do this? Let's pray it now while we have a few minutes, and we'll go back to the phones. And Maggie, maybe you can get on our Twitter page or our Facebook, we can put up a link where people can get the prayer card, because it's a beautiful prayer. I pray it. It's only a couple sentences. You can pray it throughout the day, but I know how pleasing it is to our Blessed Mother to pray this. I know a lot of people have been praying it recently. So maybe you can lead us and tell us how we can get it. And Maggie will put a link up on our Twitter page at Drew Mariani Show, so you can find it there as well. Would you lead us, Mark?
Absolutely. So let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, send now your Spirit over the earth. Let the Holy Spirit live in the hearts of all nations, that they may be preserved from degeneration, disasters, and war. May the Lady of All Nations, the Blessed Virgin Mary, be our advocate. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you can hear, Drew, it's a prayer again asking Jesus to prevent what's taking place in the Ukraine and Russia and perhaps beyond if we don't pray, if we're not interceding. So anybody can get the prayer. You can email us at mary@motherofallpeoples.com, mary@motherofallpeoples.com. Just name an address, how many prayer cards you want, and you'll get them within a week. Or you can give us a call, 740-937-2277. Same thing, just leave your name and address, how many prayer cards you want, and get some for your families and parishes. It's time to spread this forward, because that's ultimately what will bring peace to the world, is a new descent of the Holy Spirit through Our Lady's intercession. So I think it's a time to do it. Certainly what I'm going to be doing.
Maggie told me she just posted on Twitter. So if you're in traffic or in your car, at Drew Mariani Show, at Drew Mariani Show. Do I have time for another call, Maggie, or I don't? I don't. Okay, I don't think we do. We only have less than a minute. A lot of people want to get in and talk with you, Doctor, but I'm going to have to leave it right there. I'm grateful for all that you've done to spread Marian devotion, give us perspective. The days ahead, we'll be ramping up prayer. And, of course, I know you and I will be talking more in the future. So thanks for being here with us today.
Total joy, Drew. God bless you all.
God bless you. It's Dr. Mark Miravalli, and I'm out of time for the day. I want to thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. Don't forget, you can join me at 3 p.m. for the rosary, for the chaplet. Father Rocky will be praying the rosary across America tonight at 7 p.m., and he's doing that every night. Why not join him leading up to this consecration on March 25th? As Our Lady said, the rosary is a powerful spiritual weapon in these times when the evil one is so active. I'll be praying for you. Say a prayer for me, too. Have a great day.